You're listening to Trust Me, You're Broke. I'm your host, Julia, a millennial consultant in banking, here to give you some tips and tricks on how to make, save, and grow your money. Let's get started. I can't believe we're already 1 week into the last month of 2020. I mean, not only am I excited to get over this year, but also finally we're in December. We get to feel the holiday spirit. Even though Christmas will look very different this year without a big group of friends to celebrate or family, I think a good number of us have still taken the time to shop and get into the holiday spirit. And in today's episode, this is exactly what I want to discuss. December is a month that a lot of people often associate as a costly month because you're usually buying gifts for yourself, your family, your friends. You're often planning trips or special occasions, and all of those things cost money. So I think a lot of people expect that December is going to be a month with a lot of different expenditures. But this episode, we're actually going to focus on how December is a critical month for you to get organized and to give yourself actually a financial advantage ahead of the new year. So here are some key money moves that I think you should be taking this month before the year ends. So let's start off with our good friend TFSAs and RRSPs. Now, if you're unfamiliar with these two saving mechanisms, then go back to the episode that I've recorded on TFSAs and RRSPs. Now, if you were looking for the right timing to make a withdrawal on your TFSA, then this month is the month to do so. And the reason is because whenever you make a withdrawal on your TFSA, you get that contribution room back. But usually within a given year, you have to wait until the next tax year for you to get that contribution room back. So if you have some thoughts on withdrawing money from your TFSA, it's actually a lot better that you do so in December than next year in January. Because if you were to withdraw next year in January, then you won't get that contribution room back until 2022. Now, if you do that this month in December, then you will get that contribution room back next year in January 2021. Now, on the flip side of things with RRSPs, if you do want to make an early withdrawal, so, you know, ideally you should be withdrawing your funds from your RRSP post-retirement, but in certain cases you do want to withdraw them, such as, you know, the home buyer's plan like I talked about, or the lifelong learning plan, which is where if you want to go back to school, you can actually withdraw it with certain conditions. Details on my prior episode, but if you are planning on withdrawing, then be really strategic. This is the time to be strategic with your RRSP withdrawals, right? Think about next year, is my salary likely to push me into a higher income tax bracket or push me down into a lower income tax bracket? If the first is true, then it would be better that you make your withdrawal now. Now, if the latter is true, where you do expect your income to significantly decrease and put you in a lower income tax bracket, then it is better to wait it out and withdraw your funds next year. Now, I actually recently just opened up a brand new RRSP, and the main reason is because of my bonus. Now, if you are in that situation like me, where you work for a company with a bonus policy and you do get a bonus at the end of the year, you would share my pain when I say, you get a beautiful number at the end of the day, and then you get taxed at the highest income tax within your income tax bracket. So, you know, I could be getting a really great bonus, but 40% of that is going to be gone by the time it comes into my account. And that is exactly why I set up a new RRSP. Usually, employers will give you the opportunity to directly deposit your bonus into maybe a group RRSP if that is available to you. Now, in my employer's case, that is actually available. However, I missed the deadline on opening up a group RRSP in time. Also, I had to mail physical documents, which is something that I kind of didn't want to do during COVID times. So, I mean, call me lazy, but that's exactly what happened. And so I missed that deadline to directly deposit basically all of my bonus. If you do that, if you directly deposit into any type of RRSP, you actually don't get taxed on that amount. So you won't get that 40% hefty tax written off from your bonus. But if you're someone like me and you missed that opportunity or you did not know about that, Well, you're not out of options because you can still, like me, open up an individual RSP before the year ends. And I went with the mantra, better late than never. So that's exactly what I did. I now have an RSP. So once I do receive my bonus, what I can do is then recontribute that into my RSP to lower the withholding taxes. It will also be deducted from my income for 2020. And so that would kind of lower the tax owing amount that I have. Now, I always make sure I inject a disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor or a tax accountant for that matter. So I did do some research of my own, and it did say that you do have until March 31st, I believe, to contribute to your RSP for it to be counted within your 2020 income. Now, I would advise that if you can do it in December, and that way you're, you know, you don't have any confusion as to what counts as 2020 contribution and 2020 income. But if you do miss that deadline, you still have the opportunity to do so in early 2021. Now, it is incredibly important that you understand exactly what your contribution room is for both your TFSA and your RSP. And the best way to do that is to go to your account on MyCRA to understand exactly what you're able to contribute for the year. Every single person's financial situation is different, so please don't go by rumors or by any anecdotal advice. Check the number for yourself so that you don't incur any hefty penalties. All right, now that we've talked about some TFSA and RSP money moves to be making in December, let's move on to some money moves to make for working from home. So this year, because of COVID-19, a lot of you guys have stayed at home and worked from home. Now, this actually gives you a tax credit if you file your expenses correctly. Now, less than a week ago, the government has actually announced that Canada-wide, they are going to introduce a tax credit mechanism for those who have worked from home. So traditionally, there is a way that you can expense your work from home expenses to get some tax credits. But besides that, they are now offering a program where they will refund you up to $400 without you having to specify exactly what you got. Now, similar to existing measures that they have with this work from home tax credit, it is based on the space that you have used, so the square footage that you have used relative to your home. So that would determine the percentage of your expenses that you can record onto your tax filing next year. Now, while you do have some time before you need to, you know, gather all of your documents or make all of these calculations for filing your taxes, which is in April, the one thing that you should be doing before the year ends is asking your employer and reminding them about the T2200 form. And the reason is because while this measure is great, it makes it easier for people to file for tax credits for working from home. As you can see, the amount is only $400. And you might be thinking, well, Julia, $400 is also, you know, it's better than nothing. It's quite good, actually. But here's the catch, right? If you have the T2200 form, which essentially means your employer is vouching for you and proving that you have worked from home and is essentially taking on the expense of your tax credit, okay? Which is why some employers would be reluctant to just provide you with a T2200 form. But if you go down the harder route, you actually can earn a much higher tax credit for working from home. And the reason is because as part of the expenses that is eligible, your rent is also included. So let's say my bedroom is around a quarter of the square footage of my entire condo. Now let's say I used my bedroom as a home office for the year. Now via the T2200 form, I can expense 25% of whatever expense I've incurred to upkeep this home office. And that includes my monthly rent. Now, I'm sorry, homeowners, it actually does not include mortgage interest payments, so you're not included in this case. But if you are renting out there, this is eligible for you to expense as your work from home expenditure. So to give you an example, my condo is around $2,650 or something like that, $2,600 a month. So 25% of that would roughly be around like $650 a month. Times that by the amount, the number of months that I have spent in my bedroom working from home. So how many months did I work from home? I work from home for around 9 months now. So that means it's 650 times nine, which will bring us to around $5,850, guys. That's in the thousands. You see why the $400 tax credit is really not that much that they're imposing. So if you can, speak to your employer this month and make sure you get a confirmation of whether or not they are going to issue a T2200 form. It's incredibly important because it can be a matter of you getting a couple hundred to several thousands in tax credits. Speaking of employers, one other thing that you should do with your employer is to check to see if you have any expiring benefits. So for instance, if you have a health spending account, which is called an HSA, you might have some dollars in there that you haven't used for a couple years maybe that is expiring. Some employers actually do have plans where you can carry over the amount per year. Others don't. So just check through your insurance provider to see if your amount is going to be carried over to the next year. If it's not, then consider treating yourself and spending on those expenses because they're gone once December is over. Next order of things is an internal audit of your investment portfolio. If you are already investing in stocks, then this is a really good opportunity for you to do an audit of the mix of stocks that you have currently in your portfolio to assess whether or not it is a good balance for the next year. I mean, as you know, 2020 has really been an uncertain year for the stock market with huge dips, but also huge rises as a result of the dip that people were taking advantage of as well. So it's been a year of traumatic losses and really, really aggressive wins in the stock market as well. You may already know this already if you are into stocks, but if you are planning to go into stocks, it's really important that the basics of stock investment is that you have a balanced portfolio. What does that mean? That means when certain markets are doing really well, certain markets will not do very well. Give you an example, COVID-19, right? Certain digital products such as Zoom has done so well because it's a product that you can use during a pandemic versus, let's say, movie theaters or entertainment companies or retailers have done very poorly in the stock market because physically they can't have anyone using their products or services. On top of that, there are companies that are considered growth stocks, which means they are a young company, they're growing at a rapid pace, they're probably going to be very expensive in the future, but they are considered higher risk. So Tesla is one of those examples where, you know, it's doing pretty well right now, but it is still pretty young to say whether or not it's a super stable stock versus like if you buy stocks to Coca-Cola, then you know it's going to be a dividend stock, it's going to be pretty stable, and you have that as a low risk stock. And then there are other assets that you can actually invest in that are not just stocks. For instance, you can invest in gold, you can invest in any other type of precious metals as well. You can also invest in foreign cash, so foreign exchange. There are different types of ways that you can invest that's not just the typical stock. And so usually when the stock market is not doing very well, your tangible assets such as your precious metals are doing well because they stay constant. Whereas if the stock market is doing really well, you would usually see the price of gold dropping a little because people are selling their gold and buying into more stocks for more profit. Now, without going into too much detail, this is what I really love about Wealthsimple or any other robo-advising kind of platforms out there versus just an individual trading platform for beginners especially, because I still consider myself a beginner when it comes to stock trading. I still have a lot more to learn, I believe. But what I really love about robo-advising is that they readjust and rebalance your portfolio for you depending on the economic situation. So when the coronavirus hit, for example, Wealthsimple actually readjusted my portfolio and rebalanced it, I think, twice this year to have more stable assets such as gold so that, you know, my portfolio maintains the risk level that I have indicated in my kind of questionnaire when I set up the account. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning stocks and auditing stocks for December is for two reasons. The first one is, if you are an existing investor, then you should look at any stocks that you have that are at a loss position. So if you are producing negative returns and you don't really think it's going to recover in the short run or whatever, you can actually sell that in a loss position, and that will actually give you some tax credit. So by the end of December, a lot of investors actually choose to claim tax losses, so at least they can get some of their taxes deducted. Now, one fine detail that I would like to note here is, especially for Canadian investors out there who hold foreign stocks, so namely American stocks, what's really important is that the loss you incur during the foreign exchange, that is not going to be claimable as a tax loss. That's just a little mistake that you made. So make sure that you are keeping an eye out on the currency as well. If your return is pretty low, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're at loss and you're selling it and you're losing to the exchange rate. Now, here comes the fun flip side to this. You think, but I haven't started to invest in stocks yet. This is not really relevant to me. But guess what? Here is your golden opportunity to actually get into stock investment if you haven't done so yet. And the reason is because, like I said, a lot of seasoned investors will be claiming tax losses by the end of December. That means a lot of investors will be selling their stocks at the end of December. And so what that means is by January, you will be in a position where a lot of these stocks will be undervalued because a lot of people are selling it. Because how the stock market works is by supply and demand. So if there's a lot of supply because a lot of people are selling the stock, then naturally the price of the stock will go down. The flip side is also true. If the stock is in high demand, then the stock price is going to go up. So by the end of December, you will see a lot of stocks with high selling rates, which means that you can expect a lot of stocks' prices to go down. Which, for the first-time investor, this is a perfect opportunity for you to enter the market and start investing in some stocks. With that said, in order to open up an account, you do need to submit quite a few documents, you know, answer some questionnaires. So you do want to allocate some time to set up your investment account, which is why I advise that you should set it up in December. And by the way, when you do so, make sure you open up a TFSA so that whatever return you get on your investments when you withdraw, you will not have to pay taxes on. Now, if that hasn't convinced you enough to get into the stock market, some very exciting things are happening for the stock exchange, actually December 9th. So there are two companies that are going through their IPO, which stands for initial public offering, which is basically the process that a company goes through when they want to go public on the stock market, are Airbnb and also DoorDash. So these are two very well-known companies, as you guys know. And so it's a great opportunity to see how those stocks perform as well. Currently, Airbnb, for example, is valued at 7 times its revenue, I believe, which actually isn't that high compared to other traditional hotel industries out there. So things like that, it's really interesting to kind of keep an eye out on. I wouldn't advise any young or first-time investors to get right in and buy the stocks right at the IPO, just because there is a tendency that the IPO price kind of drops in the next couple of weeks as the hype kind of dies down. So don't try to like buy into the stocks right away, but it's perfect timing if you do open up your brokerage account this month, because then you can see how those stocks perform. Now, it's an interesting time period because we know that the vaccine for COVID-19 is coming back soon, but we also know that, you know, it's not going to be available until early next year, for example, and it's not going to be widely available until probably springtime, right? So it's actually a good investment kind of time frame right now where things are still uncertain, and therefore a lot of these valuable companies, their stocks are undervalued right now because of the stock market. Now, it has rebounded a lot since the huge crash in March, But I can expect to have a slight little dip, I think, again, between this month and January, maybe even February, depending on how COVID-19 goes. So it could be a really good opportunity for you to buy in. This year alone, I've seen an average return rate for this year for all of my stocks, individual stocks, of 80%. And to give you a little context, usually you see an investment return rate of 5 to 6%, maybe up to 10 if you're doing really, really well. So yeah, 80% returns. And that's really because I did take advantage of that dip that I saw in March. I'm not sure you're going to see as big of a dip now, but you will see a lot of companies that hasn't fully recovered yet, like Air Canada, for example. You know, a big national airline is bound to be saved by the government. Their stocks are still at half of what their 52-week high was. Anyway, I'm going into too much detail about stocks right now, but I'm just saying it is a really exciting time with a lot of movements happening in the stock market. So if you have not invested your money anywhere yet, I really highly encourage you to go and do your research. And the best way that you can do your research, if you do choose to maybe explore the option of using robo-advising, I would recommend Wealthsimple. It's been really great for me. I do have an affiliate link in this episode description, I believe, also on my description for the general podcast. So you can click the link there and you will get your first $10,000 managed free, which means your 0.5% management fee will be waived for you so that your trades will be completely free. So go check that out if you are interested. If not, I mean, I'm not sponsored by Wealthsimple. I honestly just really like the service. So you can take a look at that in December. Now, finally, I want to leave you with this. It is the holiday season, and I do really believe in balance when it comes to money, right? Don't just save everything that you're making, and don't just spend everything that you're making. Like, it just doesn't make sense to, you know, have to save every single penny that you're making, especially if you are somewhat financially stable and you do have that kind of emergency fund down, or you have control over your debt. It's holiday season, right? Make sure you're being kind to yourself as well. This year has been a freaking roller coaster ride for the most of us. Be kind to yourself and, you know, spend a little on a really interesting small little experience. Maybe it's virtual, you know, so maybe it's cheaper this year. Or, you know, give yourself a little gift. I'm not opposed to that at all. I think, you know, it's a good way to kind of, you know, celebrate yourself for this year. And so make sure you do that in December as well. I mean, obviously, don't go into debt and, you know, break out the credit card and max out the limit. I mean, if you do that, I mean, can't take responsibility for that. But make sure you are kind to yourself this month. Hope today's episode was informative and fun. If you'd like to show me some support and also want to get started on Wealthsimple today, I actually have a referral link in my description that you can use at sign up. If you use my link, you can get your first $10,000 managed for free for the next 12 months. That's an extra 0.5% savings, which, by the way, is higher than a bank's savings account interest rate. But I didn't tell you that. If you like this episode, please give my podcast a like, a 5-star review, and a follow. Also, go follow me at Wealth by Julia on Instagram for more tips and tricks. I'll talk to you soon.